Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord, for this gathering now. We pray, Lord, that during this time that your Spirit will come and bless each and every one of us. Give us a good understanding to who you are, that the love that you have for each and every one of us just abounds, Lord. It's just something that we cannot comprehend. Father, we ask that as we come together now, that your Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. We are thankful, Lord, for the church in which you have given us. We pray that you continue to bless it. We pray that you will continue to strengthen and comfort Pastor Nicholas and everyone in their house. at this time and knowing that they have lost a loved one. But Father, we know what the word says for those that believe. But these saints will be one day, and that we should comfort one another with these words. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless us now, Father, in the reading of your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray all things. Amen. Okay, amen. Amen. Alright, I'm going to do my best to post some of the scriptures I want to talk about. And I'm basing this sermon on Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. And it's about a good name. Okay, it's about a good name. Alright, any day of one's birth. Alright, First off, the book of Ecclesiastes is found in the Old Testament. It was written by a man named Solomon. We all know who Solomon is, right? Solomon is the son of King David, which he was next to be king after his father, King David. When you read this book, you're going to notice it's about the life of vanity and the attempt to live life and to be happy without God. You're going to live a fruitless life without God. That we know, okay? Solomon shows the human perspective in living a fruitless life without God, but when it's seen from God's perspective, we see God's purpose for us all. And Solomon wanted wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. There's no link here. I'm sorry, there's no link. So, what's a good name? What is a good name? In Psalms 111, verse 9. Okay, I'm going to post it. It says, holy and reverent is his name. Holy and reverent is his name. In Mark chapter 10, verse 18, it says, and Jesus said unto him, why callest me thou good? There is none good, none but one that is God. Jesus came to reveal to us the character of his Father. Let me ask you. Jesus said, why callest me thou good? Is not Jesus good? Absolutely. Isn't Jesus God? But he came to reveal to us the character of his Father. In John chapter 17, verse 6, it says, I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. In John chapter 17, verse 26, it says, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's key. Jesus is saying that he has declared to them thy name. Now, Jesus is not walking around saying Jehovah or Yahweh, you know. This is Jesus went out showing the world who the Father is in the love he gave for humanity and the things he was doing and manifesting from the healings and becoming a repairer of the breach as well. You know? It's the character. Well, let's look at this word name. Okay? Let me post this here. In Hebrews number 80:34, it's this word called Shem. Okay? is in reference to character. We're going to see that their character. And name equals your character, brothers and sisters. And in living out a righteous life in Jesus Christ, this will give you a good name. So one's reputation and character is what everyone gets to reflect on. And these are the fingerprints of what someone leaves back when we reflect on their life. Our names or character will be noted in the record books of heaven. We make a good name for ourselves when we live out our life righteously in Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ. We cannot at birth give a record of our character, but only at death is it revealed and sealed. Therefore, a good name can only be revealed and recorded after living a fruitful life with doing the will of God. This is what Solomon shares as wisdom is given to him. Why is the day of death better than one's birth? Why is that? Because when you're born, you have not left any record of living a fruitful life, doing the will of God. At death, the record books of heaven has recorded every deed, whether good or bad. Every smirk, whether good or bad, every single fingerprint we have made, it's recorded. It's my prayer. We have a good name through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we see ourselves as such sinners, but we say, Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, we plead the Son's blood. How do we obtain that good name? By living a life with Christ, in Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. And we start by repentance. We must repent. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, repent ye. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. First we have in chapter 3, John the Baptist is saying it. In Mark chapter 1, now Jesus Christ is saying it. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What is repentance? It's to show moral compunction, to have sorrow for sins. It's to show remorse in being sincere. Truly turning away from something, feeling that depth within that it is wrong, not turning away because of fear. I'm not going to do it anymore because so-and-so said so. It doesn't work that way. You must have that contrite heart and understand that it is wrong. Show sorrow. I want to share this passage. I love this passage here because I think it explains this good name really well. Okay? It's really long. Okay? It's from Luke chapter 7. It's going to go from verse 36 all the way down to verse 47. Okay? Luke chapter 7 from 36 to 47. I know Bob Scott's going to post it here for us. I'm going to read it. As he posts. It says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. That's to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with the tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came into, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. For me, that's a very deep passage in understanding this, you know? Yeah, amen, brother, so be it. This woman whose sins were many is forgiven because of her, because what? Her faith saves her. Her faith was in Christ, and the act she performed was by the Holy Spirit changing her heart, giving her a changed heart. That's that work of the Holy Spirit. She had a heart of repentance. That's repentance. And she was showing gratitude towards the one who showed her his good name. Well, we have to, you know, when you put yourself in that position and what was happening in that time, you got to remember it. He brought back to life her brother Lazarus from the dead. Remember that story? And that ointment was a symbol of her love to Jesus, a gift. He was about to give the greatest gift, and then he I'm referring to is Jesus, okay? He was about to give the greatest gift in his life. That deed she did is forever written and recorded in the Gospels and in heaven for a memorial unto her. There is only one that is good, that is God. Though the ointment was used to anoint his body prior to his death, remember, prior to his death, it was the act that she performed in showing gratitude and repentance. That's better than precious ointment. The name is better than precious ointment. The outward deed was the pouring of the precious ointment. But the cause of the pouring of the gift was the inward sincere repentance. The changing of heart was to develop a new character. A good name. That's the Spirit of God working in one's heart. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Again, repeat it. For Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than the riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Have to let God mold us to a character after his son. God is the potter, and we are the clay. We are to walk in the footsteps of, brothers and sisters, Jesus, his son. We are to depart from this earth. Oh, I'm sorry. When we depart from this earth, we better be sure we have a good name. Only living out a righteous life in Christ Jesus can we develop this good name. It's going to require a tremendous sacrifice, I know. We all have to pick up our cross, brothers and sisters, and walk. Die daily, as the Apostle Paul said, is what we need to do. Let us therefore be cautious in how we treat one another in remembering the ninth commandment. If we bear false witness, can we possibly slander someone else's good name? I want you guys to absorb that. Think about that for a second. We got to be careful what we say, because someone might be living a better righteous life, but our flesh may be thinking and think, they're doing something wrong, and you may slander that person and slander their good name, and they're living in Christ. Maybe others see them as an ambassador for Christ, and we destroy how another may look at them. Why? Because we gave a false witness to their lives. Brothers and sisters, keep the love of Christ in everything that you do. Think before you say things. You have to remember, our name testifies to who we really are. Shem, remember, Shem is character. Pronunciation has no power in it, but the fruits of the one behind the name are what testifies to who they are. You know, we see all these groups out here, and you know, some of them, you have to say the name Jehovah, you have to say Yahweh, and it's got to be spelled like this, and you got to say it like this. They miss it. They're topically reading scripture. Spiritual things are to be spiritually discerned. And they're missing it. Doesn't matter what my wife's name is. It's just it's the physical name. What matters is the fruit that she bears. These fruits that she bears, she exhibits, is what draws me to her. The character of God is what draws me to Him, His name, His character. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 to 20, Matthew 7, 16 to 20 says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire." Again, it says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Be clear, and that should now become simple to us to understand. We're all known by our fruits. It's our name. What will we be known by, brothers and sisters? Remember, our earthly life is short compared to life in eternity. What record will we leave behind? Who are we going to speak against? And why are we going to speak against another? Be careful what we say. Be careful what you do. Everything's being recorded. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto hearers." Again, Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. When we gather, and you reflect on someone's life, what are you going to talk about that person? What are you going to say? When someone passes, what are you going to do? What are we supposed to do? Well, look what Philippians 4:8 says. Okay? Think about this. Philippians 4 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. This is what we are to focus on, brothers and sisters. Things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report, it says. And if there be any virtue, then if there are going to be any praise, if we're going to just talk about someone, it says, think on these things. Everything's already recorded. We all know 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Amen, Brother Daniel. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, what kind of mind did Christ have? Where was his mind? Was it not on heavenly things? Then you should be thinking on heavenly things. Breaking down someone else's character, what is that going to do for you and for the other? You don't know the heart and mind of the other person. Think of good things, of a good report. And if you're going to give any praise, think on those things that are just, pure, true, and honest. Amen. So whether we eat and drink, and whatever we do all to His glory. And the bottom line is this. Hold on to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because He ran the race we could never finish. None of us. All your works are filthy rags. His good name we accept. And the cross of Christ is our victory. His good name will be given to us as we become His bride. You know, when I think of 1 Corinthians 10:31, it takes me right back to where we started. We started at Ecclesiastes. And, you know, ending this in chapter 5, verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18. It is written, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to be happy. God is going to give to us the greatest gift in the victory of His Son. But He wants to give it to us. But we have to make a choice in our life. Do we want to choose this world, or do we want to choose His Son? And it really becomes that simple. But unless you have Christ in you, and that's the Spirit of God working in you, you cannot even make the right decision, because you're not going to have the fruits of a good name. You know what I mean? You must allow the Holy Spirit to make that work in your life, but you have to look at the cross. You have to realize you need a Savior, brothers and sisters. Your name is not going to be good enough, but you hold on to the good name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. He has revealed to us that God is love. And this is why a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Because when you're born, you have done nothing for the Lord. You haven't even accepted Him. But when you die, you've left a record. And, you know, let us continue to pray for one another, that in the acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we make the choice of living a life in obedience. And God, who is so just and loves us so much, gave us His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him shall have everlasting life. To believe in Him, You must become a doer. You must have that faith. You must fall into obedience. And in looking at that cross, His Spirit, so that we will have a good name through Christ. So I pray, brothers and sisters, that we understand a little bit more of today of God's Word and what He wants for us, because He has a prepared people that in these last days will go about singing and praising the name of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Keep the love of Christ in you in all that you do. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath and go out and tell the world with the goodness of the Lord. God bless, and we'll see you a little bit later. Stephen.
I agree too. I agree.
Fitting song. You know, brothers and sisters, you know, reflecting back in the sermon here, you know, truly life is short. You know, life is short. And, you know, we are to be people of God. You know, there's 54 families here now. And we must see ourselves different. We do. We must see ourselves different from the rest of the world. Because sometimes the rest of the world, they're going to see us. They're going to see Christ in us. And God has chosen us and is choosing you to be a vessel for Him. So we have to be cautious in these temptations. You know, there's so many temptations out there. You know, I saw some people here posting about Facebook and so forth, and Brother Nick has a lot about Facebook on his main page. And at no point are you to read that he's saying you should never and this and that. He's not demanding nothing, but he's just trying to share with you the dangers of it. You know, if you're strong enough in the faith and you're going to use it as a tool to maybe witness to different people around the world in Kenya, and if you're that strong, you know, and you can give God the glory in doing so, then so be it. But the reason that it is written on his website, the dangers of it, is that you don't fall prey to it. You know, it's a warning, and as he's a watchman in these last days, he's just trying to open your eyes, because for some of you that are not strong enough in the faith, and there are a lot of sidebars on Facebook that can deter you away from what you were first trying to do. So just be cautious, okay? Just be cautious, you know? No one's telling you what to do, what you can't do, you know? That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works here with this ministry as well. But if you can do it, and to God be the glory, and if you can reach brothers and sisters in remote places, then we will pray with you that the Spirit of God will help you in using it as a tool for that, and that reason only. But it's just a snap of the finger, and you're sidetracked, okay? So just be cautious, you know, and that's the reason, you know, these things are posted, is to help share with you that you can recognize where you can fall. These are the dangers, these are the snares, just be careful where you're walking. That's what's trying to be shared in showing the dangers of Facebook, okay? Yeah, let us also pray for Christians around the world today that are being persecuted and killed for their faith. Amen, Brother Warren. Amen. They're brothers and sisters that are maybe not with us now, but they are part of the fold. You know, and they're working with whatever light God has given them. And God has chosen them for certain reasons, you know. And we should always be praying for other brothers and sisters. We know gotten his fingerprints just about in every single organization and church out there, you know, and there's this last call to follow him and worship him in spirit and truth, and this is what we're going to spend our time doing in these last days. But in so doing, you must reflect the name of God, because if you don't have that within you, the seeds you're going to give are not going to be water on with a fertile soil, because the one who's doing the sower has no love in Christ. You know? Yeah, amen, Brother Robert. Share the faith, heed the pitfalls. Amen. Well said. But again, you know, keep your church. This is your church. You know, you all come here. And, you know, we all have duties to do, and we have a duty to do. Pray for your church. Pray for the growth of your church, you know. And it is unique for a reason. If you believe you're God's people, read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. Believe it, that you are in the hands of God, because you are. But as the instructions are given you through the Holy Spirit, the touching of your heart, you gotta start going out. okay, and doing the will of God. And that going out may be in your own home. It doesn't have to be outside, you know, necessarily handing out tracts as others may do, or communing with others in other homes, sharing the Word of God. You know, it's in many different ways, and God gives us many different venues and vices to do His work. But, you know, God's calling you, you know. And, you know, for some of you mothers, you know, out there that toil every day, you have a very big job. You know, some may say you have the biggest job, you know. And, you know, we pray for all you mothers out there. You have a great job and a big job ahead of you raising the family, you know. And from the cooking, you know, from winning those souls, you know, to the Lord and training them up that they shouldn't depart from the truth of God, the truth of His Word. You know, it's a big job for us to do, all of us. You know, but God has chosen us. So what will we do? Many are being called, but few are chosen. You know, we have to remember that. Can't thank Brother Scott for all this I consider in my heart. Even to declare all this, that who, brothers and sisters, that the righteous, but what about them? And the wise, what else do they do? What else do they have? It says, and their works, where are their works? All of it. They're all in the hand of God. They're all in His hand. The glory in your trials. You know, glory in your trials. Ah, Ken, all right, Ken, thanks. Yeah, I'll let Brother Nick know that too. All right, Lord, yeah, whenever, and Brother Nick told me yesterday, he said, when we get around 70 in the room, that's what's going to happen. Every time we get around 70, people start getting kicked, you know. But, you know, pray that this week it gets worked out. You know, I think he told me today. He should be working on it. So, thanks for letting me know, Brother. Yeah. Okay, got it. All right, let's have closing prayer. Okay, let's have closing prayer. And then if some want to stay in and fellowship, we can for a little bit. Okay, but let's have closing. Okay, bow your heads, bow your hearts. Let's get them bend the knee for those that can. Heavenly Father, precious Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your love. We thank You so much for Your Word. Father, we thank You so much for the gift of Your Son and grace which has been given to each and every one of us. Father, as You have loved us first, all we know, Father, is to love You back by keeping Your commandments. We thank You, Father, for giving us the foot of the cross that points to our Redeemer, our Savior, Your Son, our King. Father, as we live in this darkened world, You have lightened our path by Your Word. We know that it is our safeguard. We know that the Word has told us that You have preserved it throughout all the generations that we may have it, so that Your will is done through us. So we accept, Father, that we are in Your hand. We accept all the works that we do because it is Thy will, and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, as the evening hours close and the dawn of time closes, Father, we desire to empty ourselves of self. We desire, Lord, that that full cup of measure will be given of that oil of the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us, that we can go forth and do Your work and hasten the coming of Your precious Son. Father, we lift up the ministry, all those that do the work. We lift up all the pastors here. We pray for them and their family and their loved ones and the sacrifice that they make. Father, we pray a hedge of angels around them, their home, their walk, and the duties in which they give others to do, because the Spirit of God is working in them as well. So bless us, Father, as we depart. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for the Sabbath day. We thank You for all the what the angels do for us. We thank You for the blood of Christ. We know there's no mountain, no oceans of water that can separate us from the love that You have for us. We give you thanks, Lord. And we ask for the continued blessings through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. Amen.